We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 8 of Romans. Been looking forward to studying this chapter. There's a lot of encouraging thoughts that Paul has given us, and yet there are yet it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. And that's usually the way it is. You think it's going to be a piece of cake, and next thing you know, you're biting into a saw. And you didn't even know you were in jail. Anyway, enough corny thoughts. But anyway, Romans chapter 8 is a book or a chapter that is really loaded with thoughts of encouragement for us to live for the Lord in a proper way. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of Romans 4. We are going to do a little more bouncing around, sort of setting the tone of this chapter to help us to get some insight into what Paul is trying to teach us in this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One of the things that I discovered in studying this chapter is what is the Spirit in this chapter? And there may be more to it than I'm going to present to you, but we'll find it out as we work through it. But I see in this chapter there's more than one Spirit. Every time you read or you look in the Bible, like in verse 2 or in verse 1, the Spirit is capitalized. Now, that's been added by the translators, and they don't italicize the S because the manuscripts all capital letters, and so therefore there's no distinction between Spirit and the Spirit and in this chapter. Now, one of the things that I tried to do, or have tried to do in the past, is I've looked for the word Spirit, by the way, which is neuter in gender. Look for the word Spirit with the definite article the before it, and tried to associate it with the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that I can really do that successfully, but that's one of the things that I look for, is unique. A unique Spirit. The Spirit. The is the article that puts significance to the word it modifies. A particular Spirit. And in this passage in Romans 8, you'll find the word Spirit without the definite article. But then you will also find the Holy Spirit referenced here. From the context, the way it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes on our behalf according to the will of God. And that cannot be my spirit. My spirit is flawed. And I don't know the will of God like the Holy Spirit knows. And so therefore I can't pray. Or that is not my spirit praying according to the will of God. But anyway. So there are several spirits in this passage of Scripture. One of them is my spirit. Another one is the Holy Spirit. And then there's another one that refers to the Spirit of His Son. And I don't associate the Spirit of His Son as being the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. So He's just, the Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus Christ is deity, and so is God the Father, deity. So the Spirit of His Son has to do with His own human spirit, if you please. Just like my spirit has to do with my human spirit. Obviously, the Lord's human spirit is different than ours because it wasn't tainted with sin like ours is. So, what I would like to do is just touch briefly on verses that I believe refer to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. In Romans 8, 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit," the definite article "the" is not in the Greek text, "they that are after spirit do mind the things of the Spirit." And I think this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. We are mindful of the things of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are some of the things of the Holy Spirit? Well, conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit had the Scriptures written. So, if I'm minding the things of the Holy Spirit, I am got my mind on the Scriptures, and I'm aware of being convicted of any sin in my life. And I'm sure there are other things, there's other areas that we could look at. But they that are according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now this has to do, my spirit can be mindful of the things of the flesh. My heart, my thoughts, according to the spirit of this age, can be continually evil. Because we're living in the last days, we're living in the days of Noah. And the Lord says that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart in that day were evil continually. And we can have we can be influenced by the same thing. Because lawlessness abounds, it says that the love of the many wax cold. And that's the many that are called into His kingdom and glory. And to wax cold means when you have cold love, what do? You avoid who you used to love. And if you don't love Him, you won't obey Him. The Lord says, if you love Me, you will obey Me. So here is a reference, I believe, in verse 5 to the Holy Spirit. And if I'm living, and they that are after spirit, and I'm going to define that spirit later on, because this is not the Holy Spirit. I personally believe it's the Abba Spirit, submissive spirit. If I have a submissive spirit, I'm going to be submitting to the things of the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Here I am mixing terms, and I don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit is what I meant. Okay? Now, verse 16 of 8. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Notice that it's the Spirit itself. And I've always had trouble with being itself, because I always think of the Holy Spirit as being a male, a man. Okay? But the reason why it's put in there itself is because the word spirit is neuter. And that's how you refer to neuter. It. It's an it. Well, later on it refers to Him as Him. So I know that if you read through the book of Romans 8. And so it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with my spirit. And here, there is a definite article, "the," before spirit. So that kind of shoots down my theory, okay? That every time you see spirit with a definite article before it, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And this really can't be, because He's talking to me that I am a child of God. And I'm a child of God and not a son of God. Okay? Let me just say that. I'm not a son yet. I'm waiting for the time when the sons of God will be revealed. And the sons of God have not been revealed yet. Because when they are revealed, you know what the sons of God will be doing? They'll be ruling and reigning. Just like the sons of God today are doing. Even though they're fallen angels, we will be sons of God ruling over 10 cities, 5 cities, so forth. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, and with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit. He is praying for us. He is interceding on our behalf. And he is revealing God's truth to us. You know what? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I can say that this week I said, Lord, I know you could pull up a chair right over there and let me know what you mean by this. But I said, I don't want you to do that, because as soon as you do that, I no longer could live by faith. Because when you have sight, if you see Jesus, faith is out the window. And that's just the way it is. So anyway, now, Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be revealed in us who walk not after the flesh, but after or according to Spirit. And I think we need to define what that Spirit is. I think that Spirit is referenced in verse 15 of Romans 8. For we have not received spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the Spirit that you and I want to receive and live by. It says, if we, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk, present active, or walking, it's in a participle, not after the flesh, in other words, we're not being influenced by the flesh, but we're being influenced by the Abba Spirit, or according to Spirit. And I believe that Spirit is defined for us, as I said, in verse 15. And the Spirit, or Spirit of adoption, is the Spirit of being placed in the position of a son. It's a compound word, to place, son, places a son. And it's that Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. And to me, the significance is this. It's not the Holy Spirit that's crying, Abba, Father. Though He does pray for us according to the will of the Father. It's what I am saying from my heart when I cry, Abba, Father. And what am I saying when I say, Abba, Father? And we'll see that in just a moment. Jesus had that Spirit. That's the thing that we need to see. In Galatians 4:6, because ye are sons, and this verse has created a lot of problems with people who are teaching that we are sons of God today. Well, the Spirit says, I'm a child of God today, and not a son. So what this is saying to me in Galatians 4:6, because you're living like the Son of God, because you are being sons, like Jesus is the Son of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, when Jesus prayed in the garden, Abba, Father, was it the Holy Spirit praying or Jesus praying? It was the Lord praying. When I pray, Abba, Father, is it the Holy Ghost that's saying that or me? If it's the Holy Spirit saying that, He gets the credit for submitting to the will of God and not me. In Mark 14:36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. That's the Spirit in which we need to live. If we live according to the flesh, what are we going to be saying? Me, my, mine, now. I don't want to suffer anything. There are times when I've had kidney stones and I'm laying in the bed breathing in pain. And I looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, if I could just If I could just reach up and touch the hem of your garment, that's all I'd need to do. I'd be well. But you know what I have to say? Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done. We want to touch the hem of the garment and to be well and not have to struggle with this old deteriorating body, because it's, I'm learning more and more that it's having less and less. This body just isn't able to keep up with what I like to do. Now, in Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, itself, that's in the neuter, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children, not sons of God. I've included this in here so that you can see that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit. Now, this spirit that we're talking about is not what we associate with body, soul, and spirit. And we'll look at that verse a little later on, because it's that verse is taken, I believe, out of the context in which it is written. Though I do believe that we are body, soul, and spirit, that we are different than animals. Animals have bodies and souls, but they don't have the spirit that a human being has. And so we are different from the animal kingdom. Jesus had a meek and quiet, Jesus said, had a meek spirit. And 1 Peter 3:4 tells us that we need to have one too. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great price. In other words, we can have a meek and quiet spirit, or we can have a horsey spirit. We can be jerks. The reason why I'm using that term is this. I was reading on the internet about psychologists and chaplains in the army and in the military, where they said in there, don't marry a jerk. And that's what they call them. They're teaching the soldiers how to pick a wife or a mate. And you don't want to marry a jerk. And that's true. You don't want to marry one. Because it's hard to keep up with a jerk every now and then. But anyway, a meek and quiet spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So when we think of the spirit, our spirit, it comes out of our thought life. It's our thoughts that communicate with the Holy Spirit. I'd hate for him to be communicating with something that I'm really not aware of, which is the spirit of man. But when he communicates with my spirit, he's communicating with my soul, basically speaking. So I can renew the spirit of my mind. So we're not talking about, every time you see the word spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to point out with these verses. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. And we just need to exercise those blessings that God has given us. And we can have the spirit of fear. All of us have had it. And some have anxiety attacks. But you know what? It's the grace of God that keeps our hearts and minds. It's the prayer. It's the power of Christ that helps us with our infirmities. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. In fact, in Romans 8:15, if you have the spirit of fear, you know what? You're in bondage. You're in bondage. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If you're anticipating ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom, you have received the Spirit whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And I'll tell you, when you're praying like that and you're living like that, you're glorifying the Father through the Son. because we are following His example. I know that I would never have to die because He could keep giving me a new body every day. But you know what? The Lord isn't doing that. And so therefore, one day something's going to wear out and quit. Something critical. And if the Lord tarries. So we need to cry, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 11, verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Sometimes God has given us a spirit that limits us. Sometimes we want to do more. In the bulletin this morning, I had a story about a Chinaman who carried 2 pots of water. One was cracked and the other one wasn't. And he'd go down to the river to get water for him for the day. And when he walked home, the jar on his right leaked. And so when he got home, it was only half full. The other jar, full. The other jar on the right was half empty. And so one day the jar that was half empty was talking to his master. And he says, "You know, I'm cracked. I got a crack in me. And when I get home, or when you bring us home, I'm only half full. I'm not accomplishing what the jar on the left is doing." And you know what the master told him? He says, "I know you're cracked. I know you leak." He says, "That's the reason why I planted seeds on your side of the road, so you could water the flowers that grace our house every day." Isn't that neat? You know, we may leak, we may not be able to accomplish what somebody else accomplishes, but you know what? The Lord enjoys the blessings that you are to Him by being faithful, even if it's leaking. Anyway, read the story. The bulletin does a better job than I do, but anyway. We are limited sometimes, and we need to have a submissive spirit in being limited. Well, the children of Israel had a spirit of slumber. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed for those in Ephesus after he heard of their faith and love for the saints. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deeper knowledge or the exact knowledge of Him. Did you know that that's a spirit that we can have that is given to us? And that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. I was reading in Exodus this week, and Moses saw some things in heaven that if you and I were looking at them, we'd say, "Man, that is impossible to make. How can I make a cherubims out of one piece of solid gold?" You know what? God gave a couple of guys in the children of Israel's camp the skills and the wisdom to be able to beat out of one piece of gold 2 cherubims to go over the ark. He gave them the knowledge on how to create all that needed to go into the ark and into the tabernacle. They didn't have a machine that would do embroidery work. You can go and buy a machine that will do embroidery work. They did it by hand, and God showed them how to do it, and He showed them how to make it where it would please Him. So He gives us what we need that we might be prepared to share with Him in His glory. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, here we see the Lord Jesus being given a strong spirit. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. I think that if we have a strong spirit, that we don't cave in very quick on right things. Now I think it's a good thing to submit in issues that are not important. But there are some things that you don't compromise. I just think about a fellow who was talking about conviction and strong feelings. We can go to the mission field on strong feelings. But when it comes to the virgin birth, we have a conviction about that. You know what the difference is? If you're confronted with life or death on strong feelings, you know what? You can change your mind. But if it's conviction, you don't. You die. That's the difference. And so the Lord waxed strong in spirit. He wasn't a mealy mouth. He wasn't a candy. He wasn't afraid to offend the spiritual leaders of his day. And he did it. And he went about his business. And we need to do the same thing. In John 6:36 or 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's the word, the scriptures, that give us spirit and that are spirit. And they do have life there's life in them. And not only life, new life, being born from above, but also life for the age, in the kingdom age. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life age lasting, or kingdom life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is not talking about sowing to the Holy Ghost, okay, or the Holy Spirit. This is about sowing to my Abba Spirit. And sowing to my Abba Spirit is reading the Scriptures that quickeneth me. Sowing to the Abba Spirit is confirming that it's His will is more important than mine. And I do that daily in prayer. That's how I am sowing to it. And I'm also reading about it in the Scriptures. And if we will sow to that Abba Spirit, we will not faint. We will not quit. Now, the passage of Scripture that often is used about body, soul, and spirit is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. In other words, completely set you apart. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What that is telling me is this: my body, soul, and spirit can be blameable. And Paul is praying that it would not be blameable. It would be blameless, not chargeable. Now, we can have a chargeable spirit. And I think that 2 Corinthians chapter... Well, I don't think I need to go into about a soul that's chargeable. Your attitude about God, you know, you've done me wrong, God. You know, I'm going to punch you out, you know, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get even with you, God, for not doing what I want. And our soul, our bodies can be joined to a harlot. You know what I mean? We can do that. Submit to the flesh. So I'm not going to go into that, but what about a spirit? Well, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 7, 1, wherefore, come out from among them. Coming out from among those who are not interested in living by faith. In other words, not being unequally yoked together with people that are not interested in living by faith. Now this doesn't have anything to do with a man and a wife, a man and a woman who are married. God covers that in a different passage. So I don't want to give you any hint for leaving your wife, okay? If she'll stick with you, let her. Because if she'll stick with you, she's going to be sanctified with you and she's going to be blessed in the kingdom with you. Okay? Now, let's go on. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Touching the unclean thing has to do with being defiled and being put out of the camp. That's what this is talking about. And I will receive you. Isn't that something? I thought the Father had already received me. Well, if I will live a life separated unto Him, He'll receive me. And He will be a Father unto me. What happens if I touch the unclean thing? I won't receive you, and I'm not going to be a Father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be an overcomer, and I don't want God to be ashamed to be called my God. I want Him to say, "This is my son." That's what this is talking about here. Saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, and those are the promises, I just got through reading the promises to you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and what? Spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, you're not even going to want to do any of this stuff. And cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit is to live in the Abba spirit. Not my will, but thine be done. Don't become bitter in spirit. Now, this is the verse that I want you to take home with you. If you don't get anything else I've said today, this is the verse I want you to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is a very unique spirit. We having the spirit, the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, erist. And therefore have I spoken, erist. We also believe, present active. And moreover, or yea, therefore continue to speak. You know what the spirit of faith is? It's believing in the present tense. You get it? Man, that is a good verse. I got that verse down. When I read John 3:16 and I see that the ones believing are the ones that are not going to perish and they're going to esteem eternal life, you know what? They are the ones who are living in the spirit of faith. So when you see the word believe in the present tense in the New Testament, it's talking about the spirit of faith. And the spirit has to do with believing. 1 Peter 1:7 through 9. This trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is my faith is going to receive praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If I pass the test, okay? If I flunk, there's not going to be any praise or honor or glory for you or for me. Whom having not seen, ye love, present active. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, present active. That's the spirit of faith. You're going to be you don't see him. You don't hear him. You can't touch him. You can't taste him. You keep on loving him and you keep on believing him. And you're going to receive the end of that faith. You're going to receive the end of that spirit of faith of which we demonstrate by obeying these exhortations in this passage of Scripture. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And the word souls is plural. That doesn't mean that I have more than one soul. He's talking about all those that he's writing to. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, present active. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh, present active, the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God is the spirit of faith. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe, present active, on the name that is the Word of God. That is the name of the Son of God, which is the Word of God, that's his name. That ye may know that ye have, or actually, this is present active of echo. And when you see present active of echo, you can translate it regard or esteem. Okay? You esteem life for the age, or age-lasting life. The reason why I say that when it has it, have eternal life, you don't have it now, but you're going to get it in the age to come. Okay? So right now, what am I doing? I esteem it. And I esteem it by faith. I can't see it, but I can read about it, and I can act upon it, and I can live in the spirit of faith by saying it, and then I keep on saying it, keep on speaking. By the word, believing is in the present tense in that passage in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and therefore speak is also in the present tense. That's the spirit of faith. You keep on talking about it. Okay? Regard eternal life, and that ye may believe, present active subjunctive, on the name of the Son of God. The subjunctive is there. It means that you may not. You may not even continue to do it. So may the Lord help us to have the spirit of faith and to be able to cry with the Son, Abba, Father, that His will, that the Father's will might be accomplished in your life and mine. And I believe the Lord will give us the grace to do that. Shall we pray? Father, just pray that you'd bless the thoughts this morning and speak to our hearts about living in the spirit of faith, believing and speaking about things to come. Father, we do regard life for the age. And we want grace to reign through righteousness, that we might reign with you, having life for the age in the age to come. Bless these thoughts to your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.